Broadcasting around the world on international shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network, I'm your host, Matt Aaron. Ghost, goblins, all that was back in Halloween. But you know what? I want to go back to Mackinac Island. I've been to Mackinac Island. It is one of the most beautiful places I have been to on the planet. It's on the water. It's beautiful. I had a chance to get introduced to Todd Clements. And here's the thing. He's been doing this since he's been like 12 years old. He's got a book out. He's got a website, Hans of Mackinac. .com. You need to go up there, get the book. And there's a secret if you go online and you get his book at the website. It's actually signed. And you're gonna want one of his books. I'm just telling you right now. Todd, welcome to the program. And I know you're up there in the wonderful state of Michigan. And I know that your ghost tours are shut down for right now. But when they open back up, folks, you need to get out. You need to get up to Mackinac Island, especially after COVID's over with. Get up there, get with Todd, and take a tour and see some of the stuff. Personally, myself, I took one of the best ghost photos that I've ever taken on Mackinac Island, and I'll share it on the website for folks to be able to see it. But Todd, I mean, this place is amazing when you get up there. There's no cars. There's no... I mean, it's amazing. Where do you want to start on either history, ghosts? I mean, where do you want to start about you? No, you, man, you're the Mackinac guy. I mean, this has been your life.
Well, I love the island's history. It's got an amazing history, and a lot of the history was sort of your textbook history of like locales and things like that. But my interest has always been in the untold or the off the beaten path histories of places. Sometimes they'd be the darker side of history or the scandalous side of history, which is pretty much been what I love about history, is the thing you don't learn in school or you won't find in your regular book. And it started with ghost stories for me. But if you want to know a ghost story, you have to know its history. Otherwise, yeah, it's a ghost story. Oh, my gosh. But the history is what brings it alive, I guess, so to speak. So I do love the history up on the island and the ghost stories. And there's legends. We have our own cryptozoology. We had not Bigfoot, but we have fairy lights. And we've had a sighting by a deputy of a sea serpent in the lake, right in the Straits of Mackinac, which is kind of the meeting place of two of the Great Lakes.
Hold on. Sure. You just threw a whole lot all at once. You said fairy yep. light.
Yep.
What is fairy light?
Well, I've done some research on this for a while now, and they're not ghosts. We don't know what they are. They're not lightning bugs. I've seen them three times. Didn't believe the stories. Native American legend, there's stories of the fairy lights. There's early time fur traders and trappers, and they've seen the fairy lights, not just on the island, but in various areas in northern Michigan. Some people have said they've seen them in southern Michigan, all over the country. From what I found in my research, there's six continents of the seven continents have stories of fairy lights. Antarctica is the only one, and that's probably because there's not enough people looking. But in a nutshell, a fairy light, it is, if you've seen a lightning bug or something that flashes in the dark at night in the summer, it's similar, but it's extremely large. It's usually the smallest I've seen is about the size of a softball. The biggest stories I've heard are bigger than a medicine ball. Which, if anyone, not many people know what a medicine ball is anymore, but it's larger than a basketball. And they move. They seem conscious. They know what they're doing. They come and go. One second you'll see them. They'll move around. And next thing you know, they're gone. And sometimes they stick around for a while. They're lit up. Where what makes them different from a lightning bug just flashes. These things, they light up and they stay lit up. And they move around. The first time I saw one, I'd heard the legends. I was like, it's cool and all, but, you know, it's a legend.
So hold on. Then I saw one. Hold on.
Yeah.
For the listeners out there, what you're talking about is something that is kind of like an orb.
It looks like what most people would say is an orb, but it's I'm a skeptic with the orbs because I understand cameras and you get lens flare and all that. But this is something you don't need a camera to see. It's visible to the naked eye, and it's intelligent. It's an actual.
So you can see these things with your naked eye. This isn't just an anomaly with a camera. No.
In fact, there's very few good photos of them. Most of it is eyewitness accounts where you saw them, because usually they don't stick around long enough for you to pull a camera out. I have seen maybe half a dozen photos on the island of them, and I would say three of them I'm skeptical, but there's a few of them that I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly what I saw. And that is, in fact, one of the photos is where I saw one. And it's a photo from the 1990s. I believe it was when that photo was taken, and it was like 10 feet away from where I had my first experience with these lights. And, I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't even looking for it. I was walking home from work, and, anybody's familiar with the island, there's the Grand Hotel. My way home from work, you pass in front of the Grand Hotel, you go past all the big, big, big cottages up this road, and then you turn and you go back into the neighborhood areas. But I'm walking, I was maybe two houses past the Grand Hotel, I think it's two houses, and there's a big open garden. Used to be houses that stood there, they had a fire, they never rebuilt the houses, they just put a garden in. So that's where I was walking, it was dark. I was alone, of course, unfortunately, because no one else was there to witness that one. And I'm not thinking of anything. I'm just heading home. And all of a sudden, in the garden, I saw what I thought was a flashlight, maybe 20 feet to my right in the wood, in like the garden area behind a fence. Then the flashlight started moving, so I looked over to see if it was somebody doing midnight gardening, which you don't see very often. And the light just came at me. And it didn't come directly at me. It was kind of going towards me, but in front of me at speeds that I can't easily explain. I mean, just a rough estimate, it was like a motorcycle flying by you on the freeway.
Oh my.
It just was, and it was about the size, a little bit bigger than a softball. It stayed lit the entire time I saw it. Once I noticed it, flew maybe 3-4 feet in front of me. And it was like a hazy, yellow, milky white. Hard to explain, but the best way to explain what it looked like somebody lit off a firework and it just didn't stop going off. But it was like smoky. And it went in front of me. And with Mackinac Island, we have huge bluffs, 100 to 200 feet tall. Went off the bluff that was on my left. And just went out over the lake and just kept going and going and going until I couldn't see it, got too far away. And I went back to where I live on the island, and I had some roommates, and they saw me walk in the door, and jokingly, because I had an expression on my face, like I was still trying to comprehend what I saw. It's like they're laughing because they know what I do. Did you see a ghost? And I was like, this wasn't a ghost.
Oh, geez.
This is something completely different. I mean, and then I told them the stories I'd heard, and I had one of my books has a story of a fur trader that had an experienced one, tried to kill him, tried to lead him into a swamp with quick mud and quicksand and all that in the middle of the night.
So these things can be dangerous.
They can be dangerous. They can be helpful. They're mischievous. There was a local on the island that is a folklore type Native American. And he knew of that. He's actually the first person who told me the legend of them. He called them the Potawatomi, but they have so many names, it's unbelievable. I mean, every area of the world has different names for them. Ming lights, fairy fire. They have a million names. Most people would call them a fairy. but it's not like Tinkerbell. At least not what I saw. It wasn't like any Tinkerbell with little wings and a cute little dress on. It was just a weird light. And they're seen all over. And I had that experience, and I was like, yeah, I saw this thing. I didn't believe it. I thought it was a legend. I'd heard the legend. And, yeah, I was pretty much like, okay, I'm of sound mind. And that was something that just... It floored me. Now, in my life, I'd seen a few ghosts, not many. People seem to think that you see them all the time, and I'm a person who basically started as a hobby, became a career with the whole ghost stories and ghost hunting and all that. And I've seen a handful of them, very small number. Most people never see. I know people who have been hunting ghosts for 10, 20 years and never seen one. But that's actually what got me involved in the whole thing was I saw a ghost. And this was not a ghost. This was something different. And then I started doing what I do because I'm huge into research and finding out the answer behind everything. And my experience, basically, it was what most people would call a fairy. And there's a history of fairy sightings on the island. I know a few people have seen them too. And when I talk to them after, they're like, yeah, now you believe it. And I'm like, yeah, now I believe it. But the second time I saw it, I saw one. I was a couple years later. It was October. It was windy and cold, and we were up there. There was a paranormal event that every few years that some people put together and were a part of it. And it was the night before the event started, and there was a few people in the lobby of the hotel, and I said, you guys want to go look for fairies? And they're like, half-jokingly, yeah, sure, whatever. But some of them really wanted to see if we could do it. And I said, I know a few spots where they might be from the legend. So we go towards Arch Rock, which is, I don't know how many, I think it's 160-foot tall arch rock on the island, something that doesn't fit in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. It's something you'd see out in the, like, in Hawaii. It's just this huge rock arched right next to the lake. It's gigantic. And we walk through the woods, and we've got flashlights, and it's cold, but everybody's bearing with it. And windy, kind of creepy, October, very Halloween feel. One person said they saw something in the woods, but nobody else saw it. So we get to Arch Rock. Everyone's taking pictures of Arch Rock at night. Most people never visit the rock at night, and it's totally different at night than it is during the day. It looks a lot bigger. And I've seen Arch Rock at night, so I'm looking in the woods, listening, and we thought we heard chanting in the woods, or I thought I heard chanting in the woods, and there's ghost stories with Native Americans in the woods. And I'm like, ooh, we might have a ghost story coming. We might have something here. And it was hard to tell because it's very windy and the trees were knocking and making lots of noises, but it definitely sounded human. Someone else came up behind me and said, what are you looking at? And I said, it's not looking. Listen. And they heard it too. And we were expecting to see people walking on one of the roads towards us. We expected to see flashlights or people. No one ever came. We never saw a flashlight. And where we were, it's kind of remote, especially in October at night. You're really not going to find anybody up there.
So hold it right there for a second, Todd. We're going to come back from this break. And when we do, we're going to continue his story in the dark woods at night on Mackinac Island. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Talking to Todd, and he's telling us the stories up at Arch Rock on Mackinac Island in the middle of the night. They're looking for fairies. And he hears chanting in the woods, and I think that's about where we left off there, Todd.
Yep. Two of us heard the chanting. We tried to debunk it. We're trying to say, is it the trees? Is it something that we're hearing that's doing? It was human. And if you've ever heard a Native American chant, and it is very similar, if not exactly what we heard. And we were expecting to see people messing with us or somebody just in the woods, and we mistook their talking for chanting or something. Never happened. There was nobody out there. We realized we were alone, and we were still standing there, just two of us. trying to find or hear or see something. And the rest of the group, there were about eight of us in total that were on the walk. They came up and they're just like, what? I'm like, just listen. And we didn't hear any chanting after the two of us heard it. And we're all standing there quiet, facing away from our truck towards the woods. And all of a sudden, maybe 75 yards away, one of those lights pops up, comes out of the ground, hovers maybe 2.5 feet above the ground in the trees, moves slowly, maybe 5 or 6 feet, and then it was gone. It just disappeared. We all saw that. Every single one of us saw it. And one woman is screaming and squealing like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I just saw a fairy. Yeah, that was one of the fairy lights. And I was amazed at, because I didn't think we'd see one. They're not that common to see. It's pretty hard to catch one. But we saw one. And I was like, oh, wow. I finally have witnesses. I'm not crazy. They saw it, too. So, but, yeah, that was the second time I saw it. So
if I remember the history from the area of the tour that I was given, is that not in an area of a grave site, an unmarked grave site of some kind, or is it an Indian burial ground in that area?
Mackinac Island is a burial ground. Most people don't realize it, but it's a very rocky island, but if there's enough soil to bury someone, it's already taken. That's the rule of thumb on the island. Native Americans buried their dead there for centuries, if not a millennia. For a very long time, it was considered by some tribes to sort of be a Garden of Eden, the closest they can get to their gods. Was Mackinac Island. It was where life began. It started out with chiefs, medicine men, important family members, important people in tribes. They would be buried there because it was a special place. But just like in the real world today, important people get something, everybody else wants it too. They started burying everybody there. And there's numerous Native American burials that no one knows where they are. There are mounds. Not many of them are well-known mounds. There's one in the Catholic cemetery. There is a burial mound for Native Americans. That one's well-documented. There's a few in the woods, but you really got to do some serious hiking off trail to find them. I've only found two. I've heard there's as many as six. Where was I going with that? It's got a nickname Island of the Dead. There's British soldiers buried. We don't know where they are. There's American soldiers buried. Some of them, we don't know where they are. There was a battle in 1814 on the island, and the American soldiers, they buried them where they died, somewhere on a golf course, which is now, it's now a golf course. It wasn't a golf course then. The British fort, when the fort was run by the British, their cemetery has not been located. No one knows where they bury the dead. And we assume there were some, for sure, that died in the time the British had it. The fort and possession of the island, they actually built Fort Mackinac. So we know that there's got to be some, and there was a battle, the battle where the American soldiers were buried where they died, the British soldiers, there's no record of where they buried them. So no one knows where they were buried, but they're buried somewhere. And I found a human vertebrae by accident on a bluff once. We were sliding down the side of a bluff. I saw what looked like a weird rock. And I picked it up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's a backbone. I thought it was a cow or some other animal. So we dropped it off with the Historic State Park, and I was told that it was human. And they estimated, without doing any serious tests based on coloration and decay and everything like that, they said probably 700 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So at some point somewhere nearby that area, there must have been a grave site of some sort, and the bluffs have collapsed and rocks fall and you never know where it came from, but it was somewhere in the area. There was one of the bed and breakfasts was redoing their kitchen. So I'll give you another story of they're buried everywhere. They pulled up all their floors to redo the pipes on the house. They're digging down to put the pipes in and they hit a Native American burial. It was a female. They knew that it was bones, but it was a female based on the clothing that they found, the leather, the decoration, She had moccasins. It was all preserved except she was bone. They pulled it all out, put the pipes in, and put her back and reburied her because they didn't want to disturb a grave as little as they could. And when they finished doing the floor and everything was completely done, her moccasin showed up. They forgot to put one of the moccasins. They were showing it to people. They forgot to put it back in. And the last time I was in there, they had it in a glass case above a fireplace. Above the fireplace, her moccasin is sitting in the glass case. And they nicknamed her She Wanna Shoe. Because she lost her shoe. But yeah, there's stories of people finding bones almost every season. If you're doing any construction, you find something.
That sounds a lot like St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, it's so much like St. Augustine. I've been there. It's not as old. It's not as old with European settlements. But it is very old with Native American. In fact, another thing that just came up historically is they're trying to put a new gas line in the Straits of Mackinac, and they were doing like survey work and things like that, and they found a rock ring similar to Stonehenge. I don't know all the details if it's as big as Stonehenge, but they found pottery, they found caves underwater, so that the Straits of Mackinac and the Great Lakes formed somewhere around 10,000 years ago, and if they're finding these things down deep in the water, there's been Native Americans there for over 10,000 years because the Ice Age is when we got the Great Lakes. So it was something prior to the Ice Age, and they say that the Straits of Mackinac before the Ice Age was a river valley, and there was a river at the bottom, and now it's all submerged because the Great Lakes are there.
Right. So, folks, just a quick reminder, Todd has a book out and a website that you need to go to that has more information, and if you're interested, during on-season, they do tours on Mackinac Island for ghosts, and he gives history. He's made a lifetime investment of this since you've been 12, I think is what you said.
12, yep.
So the website's hauntingsofmackinac.com. You need to go there.
Haunts. Yes.
Of Mackinac.
Sorry.
No. That's my fault. I've got the notes in front of me, and I sometimes don't read, and I'm an idiot. So
no worries.
And that is not a joke. Sometimes I just don't pay attention. So the biggest thing, folks, is this guy, he tries to get to the bottom of actually what is there, not just, oh, there's a ghost and we've been creeped out and we run with our hair on fire. That's not what he does. And I would have to say, with the research that you're doing, there's a lot of the culture that's on the island that would support you in that.
We find history that people weren't aware of. I mean, there's been a few times lifelong, multi-generational families from the island now come up with something and are like, where did you come up with that? Because they're skeptical, some of them. And I show them everything. They're like, I never knew that. I'm like, see, sometimes history is buried. You never know what you're going to find. You just got to keep looking, and you put things together and find this and that and the other. And next thing you know, you may have a ghost story. You just may have a good history lesson. It depends on what the situation is.
What is the island culture like for people that have not been there?
In the winter, it's a very small population. The island never closes. A lot of people think it closes when the tourism season closes. No. There's roughly 500 people. There's a school, K-12. It's a very close-knit community. And in the winter, snowmobiles are a big way to get around. You're allowed to use a snowmobile in the winter. In the summer, it's all bikes, walking places, or horse and carriage, or riding horses. You can rent horses, saddle horses, and ride around if you want. It's an old community, but it's a very everybody kind of knows everybody type community.
And tourism is one of your guys' biggest things out there, correct?
Yeah, that's the lifeblood of the island. We have no major industry on the island other than tourism, and we associate fudge with tourism, so that's part of tourism because we're famous for our fudge. There are a lot of fudge shops. Most of the island starts opening in early May. The hotels start opening, restaurants, stores, fudge shops, bike rentals, you name it, starts opening in May. And then we wrap up towards the end of October, usually, not this year, but usually the island has a huge Halloween like celebration on the last weekend. It's not typically on Halloween, it's the week before. But that weekend before, it's doesn't get up a lot of publicity, but it's one of the best costume parties on Earth. It's you'd be amazed by some of the costumes that come up to that island. Not this year, but most years. It's a lot of fun.
Well, COVID has really just rocked our nation.
Yeah, it canceled everything this year. All we had this year is we gave candy to anybody who went on the tour. We said, take a grab a handful. Because we had it for trick-or-treaters, which we never got.
Well, folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Todd to kind of go over some of the interesting ghost stories that if you go to visit, he's not going to tell you all of them, because if you want to know them all, you need to go up to the website, hauntsofmackinac.com, and buy the book. That's the key thing. But he's going to give us some samples in information, and maybe you'll want to take a trip up there like I did. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Disclosure. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure, folks. Mackinac Island. Todd said earlier it was... how did he put it? The land of the dead? The buried? I don't remember. Yeah. Since he's been 12 years old, he's been investigating ghost stories on Mackinac Island. The website, you need to go up, grab his book up there, hauntsofmackinac.com. Get up there. You can get it on Amazon too, but the secret is if you get it from his website, you get a signed copy from Todd himself. Welcome back to the show, Todd. What stories or interesting things would you like to share on... I guess we could... I could almost say we're trying to bait people to get up and get more of your stuff, but what do you want to talk about as far as it's the spooky side of things that you've seen there?
Sure. There are so many stories. It's hard to know which one. I have some of my favorites. Some of them aren't necessarily the greatest ghost stories, but there are ghosts involved. Some of them are just history and unusual. And one that keeps popping my head right now is the story of Jack Drew. We don't know all the details. We're still trying to get some of the details because it was back in the 1920s that it all happened. But we'd heard stories of there's one alley on the island downtown. There's two alleys on the island, but this is the only one most people know about. Goes behind some of the hotels, some of the shops, and it's just a dirt trail. One end you have a horse, a saddle horse rental place. The other end you have Mustang Bar and Yankee Rebel restaurant and bar. And we were hearing stories of people that always said, oh, I feel like I'm being watched in this alley. Some people said they've seen figures in this alley. So we're just like, huh, we have no clue where it's coming from. We just hear the stories. And every few years, the state releases a block of obituaries for the entire state. But, of course, I always focus on the obituary, or not the obituaries, death certificates from Mackinac Island. And I always go through them when they release a block to see if there's anything interesting in the death stories. Or death certificates. Usually I find a few that are definitely, that could lead to a haunting, or that's a weird way to die, or that's a horrible way to die. But we did come across one, and the way the guy died, it said, hole in heart due to gunshot.
Oh, dear.
We're like, okay, he was shot. So we're like, okay, that's a quick death, unexpected. Sometimes that leads to a ghost story. Sometimes it doesn't. So I looked further into it. His name was Jack Drew. He worked on the island for a few seasons. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana. And I found some news clippings. I think 1927 is when it happened. And he was obsessed with another seasonal worker girl on the island. And he was trying to date her, but he was very aggressive about it. And she didn't have anything to do with it. And her friend said, stay away from him. He's bad news. He's not a good guy. And he got to the point where nowadays we'd call it stalking her. He was stalking her and he wouldn't leave her alone. And he worked as a shoeshine guy in what is now one of the fudge shops on the main street there. And she worked in a beauty shop that was across the alley we're talking about. Now it's where she worked is now the Yankee Rebel, where he worked is a fudge shop now. And one day he decided he was going to, we assume some of this, he was going to have her come hell or high water. He wanted this girl and he was going to go and take her forcefully. So he, we assume, comes out the back door to the alley, crosses the alley, goes to a back door of the beauty shop that she worked at and knocks on the door. And she opens the door, and he's standing there face to face. Now, her friends told her to be careful, and she decided to start carrying a pistol. And he lunged for her. She grabbed the pistol, pulled it out. Roughly, we assume it was point-blank range, shot him. And he stumbled away. She shot him in the heart. And he stumbled away. This is July 3rd. Which is a very busy time on the island, very busy 4th of July, stumbles out into the main street where there's thousands and thousands of people and falls dead in the middle of the street.
Oh, dear.
Now, the feeling of being watched in that alley, the seeing figures, people have seen figures on our actual walking tours, too. It has happened. And there's a light that we think we can explain. It's one of those old lights that pops on and off. When it gets too hot, it turns itself off. It always seems to go on and off on cue. When we talk about it, we say Jack Drew and boom, the light turns on. Or we say Jack Drew and boom, the light turns off. Scares everybody. We think it's just because it's one of those old lights, but it's just fun because it comes on and off randomly, but usually around the time we say his name or we talk about, bam, the gunshot went off, the gun went off, and the light turns on or off. It makes everybody jump, but we have one photo of the figure. It's sort of behind the building, but it's down the alley away from the group of people, and it's kind of leering out at them, but it has no features other than the fact that it's got a human shape. It's very black. It's not necessarily a shadow person. It is a shadow person, but we don't think it's an actual shadow person because we think they're a little different than a ghost. We think it's the ghost of Jack Drew, but we're not 100% sure. And so Jack Drew's story got thrown on the tour. I just like the story because it's got guts with the whole gunshot and the stalking. And it's got an interesting story behind it. And most people don't even know the story. They've never heard that story from Mackinac Island. And there's a lot of those kinds of stories up there. And some of them have ghost stories, some of them don't. But some are the truth is stranger than fiction type stories. And that one, I love Jack Drew because it's creepy. It's just a creepy story.
There was a movie that was done on Mackinac Island.
Yeah.
And it was a somewhat paranormal movie, too. I don't remember the name of it. I remember the theme of the movie.
Somewhere in Time.
That's, yes. And
yep. It was Jane Seymour, Christopher Plummer, and Reeves, Superman. I'm drawing a blank. Drawing a blank on his first name right now.
Christopher
Reeves. Yeah. They were the stars of the movie. It was filmed in, I think, 1979. I believe it was 1979. But yeah, we had two movies on the island. One is an old 1940s movie called This Time for Keeps. Had Jimmy Durante and some of the stars of the 40s. But Somewhere in Time is the big one. That was the big Hollywood Universal Studios, you know, in all the movie theaters across the country movie. It has a cult following, and they actually have a weekend every year at the Grand Hotel where people dress up and they do the movie and they have stars come up. Jane Seymour was there, I think, last year. Yes, Jane Seymour was there last year, so she still comes up and does the whole, sort of like a Comic-Con, but it's just one movie.
So I guess the question that I was going to pose with the movie Somewhere in Time and all the other things, one of our previous guests basically told me that there is a lot of UFO activity up in the Upper Peninsula area.
And yeah. I know plenty of people have seen. I've never seen it, but I know a lot of people who have.
So I was going to ask you're on the island a lot up there. It's a beautiful place. There's not a lot of lights. It's not like you're next to Detroit, you know, or a large city.
You can see a lot of stars.
And
it's very dark.
Do you see that there's more different other styles of paranormal activity up there other than just ghosts or people talking?
We have the ghosts. We have fairy lights. Now, the UFO, there was a sighting. Don't quote me on this because I'm not a huge UFO guy. I know it, but I'm not, well-versed in it. I think it was in the 70s near the Mackinac Bridge. There was a sighting that was so intense, they actually scrambled fighter jets somewhere from the UP, from a base in the Upper Peninsula. They were about to scramble fighter jets to go investigate what these lights were somewhere near the Mackinac Bridge.
Oh my gosh.
The lights took off before the planes got off the ground. They were gone. So they scratched out and didn't have them go after whatever was there because it was already gone. I've heard that story. There's a few locals on the island said they've seen, there's another island not far away called Round Island. Nobody lives there. It's part of a state park. It's just a basically wooded island, and the only thing it's really famous for is its lighthouse. It has an amazing, beautiful lighthouse on one of the points of that little. It's a small island, but there's the lighthouse. And one of the locals he told me that he has seen lights come down from the sky and go up to the sky from that island. So there could be something to that as well.
Wow. See, this is the thing about Mackinac Island. It seems like it's a hot spot for all kinds of strange things that go bump in the night. It's
for sure.
I'm telling you, the photo that I took out there has to be the most creepiest photo I have ever taken. And when I went back, and the folks that know me really well, I'm a nighttime photographer, and that's what I do. I take nighttime photography. And I love it. It's fun. But I didn't take any more photos after that in the night alone on Mackinac Island. Our guest is Todd Clements. I think I said his last name right. Go to his website, hauntsofmackinac.com. Get the book. We got one more segment when we come back. We're going to see if he's got any other creepy stories he wants to share. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. We're talking about Mackinac Island. It is a hotbed of paranormal activity, from UFOs, ghosts, fairies, you name it, it's been there. Hauntsofmackinac.com. Hauntsofmackinac.com. Go up there. You need to get Todd's book. And Todd joins us from Michigan right now. And Todd, coming into this break, I said that you might have another story or two that you may want to share, and I don't know if you do.
Yeah, there's one that it actually took a lot of looking into things and everything, studying history and death certificates. We had to study a lot on this one, and it was bits and pieces. We had bits and pieces of stories, but alone they didn't make much sense. But when we put them all together, it created an entire, like, day of what happened, the events of a day, and how it became a ghost story in the future. It's one of my favorite stories, and just because it, the way it fell together, were just like light bulbs blowing off in your head and going, smacking your forehead going, I can't believe I didn't see that before. It's the story of, why am I drawing a blank on her name? Can't think of her name right now because, that's the way it goes.
Name's not important. The story isn't it. But if they want to know the name,
it's in the second book. Second book will be available sometime over late winter. It's out, but it's in reprint right now because of COVID. We got delayed on reprinting it because the first printing went pretty fast and we're like, and we have to reprint. But her story is, it's going to drive me nuts until I remember her name. Somewhere on Mackinac Island, is, I believe, 1918 was the year. It could be wrong. It might have been 1912. But it's a summer on the island. There's summer workers doing their thing. And the woman whose name escapes me, she lives on the island. She's from the island. Her family has a home on the island, and it's a boarding house, and they live in the back of the boarding house, like the private residence. And it's on Hoban Street, but their name's not Hoban. And a lot of summer romances pop up on the island. It happens with summer workers constantly. So she meets a guy, and his name is actually hard to pronounce, so I'm not even going to butcher his name. But he is working on the island as well. They meet each other. They get to know each other. They start falling in love. And we know this because there's like we found some of the history of on who she was because of her family being on the island. And we found out his name. And we got a date. And like I said, it's 1918 or 1912. I can't remember which year it was. It was can't remember the exact date either off the top of my head. But they started courting each other. They started dating. And they really fell deeply in love with each other. And there was one, the day that what led up to, we think it's a residual haunt. It's not an active haunt. But it was a very happy day for her. We never have anything with his ghost story. It's just her. But we've heard stories of a woman who whistles or kind of hums a song on Hoban Street. And she always comes from a restaurant that's now Village Inn Restaurant. She always comes from there. And nobody seems to know who she is other than she's wearing Victorian clothes, around the 1912 era clothes. Sometimes they describe her carrying a parasol. She has a hat. And she's very happy. And she hums a song. When she turns... It's near an alley. It's the other alley. It's Lakeview Hotel. Behind Lakeview Hotel used to be a house. The house is gone. That was the house that they had. That was their boarding house and their family home. When she turns and crosses the threshold of where the door of the house used to be, she vanishes.
Oh, my gosh.
We believe it's a residual. She just disappears because she would have disappeared going into the house. We got that part of the story. We also have a story behind a small shops that's the carousel shops. It's the only shopping mall in Mackinac Island. It's very small. It's not really a shopping mall, but it has an indoor covered area. And there's a story behind that building of a woman in Victorian clothes crossing. There's a big open grassy area where some of the horses from the riding stable will stretch their legs and everything at night. Walks through there, disappears into a wall, which is the back of Village Inn Restaurant. There's also a ghost story from Village Inn Restaurant in the ladies' restroom of faucets turning on, doors opening and closing, the smell of perfume, a woman humming. These are all separate stories. They aren't together, but that's how we kind of pieced it together. And the Haunted Theater, which is a funhouse haunted house on the island, it's one of the original haunted houses. It's the old school style haunted house, jump scares, loud bells, wax figures. It's a legend as far as the haunted house industry goes. It's like a museum. Somebody comes out of the back of that. A woman in Victorian clothes walks out of the back of that haunted theater. And some people have said they've seen a woman inside in Victorian clothes in the haunted theater, and they think it's part of the show. So we get these ghost stories of this Victorian woman from different people who had seen it, different locations, and were like, okay, there's something to that. They describe the same woman, parasol hat, purplish, lilac-y kind of color dress. She had a sash around her waist. I mean, it's all the same person, so we got that. Okay, this is the same person. But who is she? And one person who was at Lakeview Hotel heard her from their hotel room in the summer when the windows were open. They heard her. It was late at night, and they look out the window. They see her, and the person actually recognized the song. That was a huge clue as to who she was. Yeah. It was Hearts and Flowers. And most people have no idea what song that is. But if you ever watched the movie Christmas Story with Ralphie.
Yes.
When he gets soap poisoning and they play that song, that's the song Hearts and Flowers. I found that out because otherwise most people will never know what it was. I looked it up. I heard it. I was like, that's from Christmas Story. I know where that's from. So it's easier for me to describe people where the song's from. It was composed back in the late 1800s. It was a huge hit with silent films. The Haunted Theater used to be a silent film movie house. There's another clue. And the summer that we're looking at, where the girl, still names Lapine, Catherine Lapine, got it. There's her name. Her family had the Lozens house, which was the Lapine family house, which is the boarding house. And Catherine lived in the house, and we're like, okay, what year is this? Hearts and Flowers, what would it have to do with the island? We found out the movie, silent film, Hearts and Flowers, by the name, the accompaniment to the silent film was the song Hearts and Flowers, was playing the same year that she got engaged. She got engaged to the guy that she fell in love with on the island. It was playing. So we're like, okay, she maybe went to the movie with this guy, fell in love, got engaged. We found out when they got engaged is a little bit about their love, the love story, how it flourished. Got engaged to the guy. We're thinking, did they get engaged at the theater, possibly watching Hearts and Flowers, listening to that song, and it's in her head, and she's happy, and she's humming the song she's been listening to at the theater, which is the song people say they hear her humming when she's walking back to her house.
Oh, my gosh.
She goes through walls. She goes through buildings and vanishes at her family home. So we're like, okay, this is all fitting now. The year that movie came out, it's 1912 or 1918, which is, I can't remember which year it was. It was a big hit that year. It was playing on Mackinac Island. The accompaniment was the music she's humming. She got engaged that summer, possibly the date that she's walking back. So we got a happy residual haunt, putting all the pieces together, and that's Catherine Lapine. We were pretty sure it's a residual haunt of her. The day she got engaged, she's happy as can be. Eventually, she married Julius, I think was his name, but it's pronounced differently. It's similar to Julius. She marries him and lives happily ever after. They moved to Houghton, Michigan, which is way up in the Upper Peninsula. It's a copper mining town, but it was a boom town for a long time because of the copper mining. And they lived happily ever after, had kids, and she died of natural causes years and years and years and years later. And so we're like, okay, this probably is not an actual haunt. It's a residual haunt. And we're just seeing a bit of one of the happiest days of her life. The funny kick to it is Julius, the guy she married, was already married.
Oh.
And he left. He had a really bad marriage. He got a divorce. The day they got divorced is the day he married her.
Wow.
The divorce was final. He married her that day. But they lived happily ever after. And we're just seeing bits and pieces of, I think, what was one of the happiest days of her life. And it kind of got trapped in time. And you can occasionally, when the conditions are right, you catch a bit of that day with her quote unquote ghost.
That is such an interesting, the investigation that it took to find all that. Not only just the investigation, it's just the Grand Hotel that's there.
Yep.
We don't have even enough time for this show. When your book's back in reprint,
like I say,
when your book's back in,
so many stories to tell.
When your book's back in reprint and you've got copies to sell on your website on the second
the first
book.
One you can still get. The second one's one that is in reprint.
So the website is hauntsofmackinac.com. We're going to put a link on radiodisclosure.com
and
as well.
Mackinac is spelled with a C. It's the French spelling. The English spelling is with a W. Anything north of Mackinac Bridge is with a C. Everything south is with a W. Which is a very unusual thing, too.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on the show. And
oh, it's been fun.
What we're going to do is we're going to have you back on, I guess, in about, 6 months or so. We'll, when your second book is back in, we're going to have you back. And folks, I'm telling you, the longer I keep doing this kind of radio show, I mean, we've been doing it for years, you sit back and you say, yep, this stuff is real. I'm talking to real people, not people that just do a TV show just for sensationalism to get to the bottom of it. That's what I like. Real history. I want to say thank you to the International Shortwave, WTWW, for carrying us, and to all of our local affiliates. My hat's off to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Disclosure.